Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Sam Altman back on the board of OpenAI, along with three new directors after the startup wrapped up its investigation into that failed boardroom coup. Deirdre DeBosa digs into what the new board might mean for the future of OpenAI in today's Tech Check. Morning, Dee.
Hey, good morning, Carl. So that investigation, it hopes to put an end to months of internal conflict and questions, but it also underscores the new uncomfortable dynamic at OpenAI, and that is a nonprofit mission with a corporate profit motive. Now, here's what the board looks like now. Altman and D'Angelo remain. The previous members were less well-known outside of AI research and ethics circles. They were replaced with experienced business executives familiar with building for-profit companies. This is now a Gen AI startup, a darling at that is well equipped to handle public scrutiny and drive more revenue and profits, but it's also less aligned with OpenAI's founding mission to build artificial general intelligence that is safe and benefits all of humanity, which is also the point of Elon Musk's lawsuit against the company. So looking forward, it's plausible that we could see that structure change and the elimination of caps on the maximum financial returns to investors and employees. Now, not that OpenAI has had any problem raising billions of dollars in capital, but it could further open the floodgates for more money, especially as the competition heats up. There would be more of a payoff if it wasn't a nonprofit. Now, another interesting dynamic of the new board, it includes several executives with experience at Meta, another controversial tech company that's been under fire and had to face responsibility and ethics scrutiny over the years. There's Brett Taylor, Fiji Simo, and Dr. Susan Desmond-Hellmann. They have all had stints at the former Facebook. Taylor and Simo in operational roles, and Desmond-Hellmann was a board member from 2013 to 2019. So she's seen a lot in her position there. Don't forget also that Brett Taylor, he's a huge name here in Silicon Valley. He has successfully battled Elon Musk at Twitter as chairman of the board. And Musk today took another swing at OpenAI, making his Grok chatbot open source. So all of this, guys, suggests that going forward, Altman's leadership cemented, unlikely to be challenged again. And the company will now be able to focus on its external challenges for better or for worse. But those as well are starting to pile up. Don't forget, I mentioned that Elon Musk lawsuit as well as the SEC investigation.
Why are they still a nonprofit?
It's a good question, because they were created that way. I keep expecting to wake up and hear some kind of change, especially with the board looking like it does now. And I think this, like I said, raises the pressure because its mission is at odds with what it's trying to do in the future. So I do wonder if that changes. Out of that investigation, we had some changes to the structure around the edges, like there's going to be a hotline for whistleblowers. There's also going to be more controls around conflicts of interest. But you're right, Sarah, the whole structure is curious considering, you know, where it's moving.
As for external challengers, I wonder whether you think the biggest pressure will come from regulators or Musk himself.
Or its competitors, right? I mean, throughout the last few months, which have been turbulent, you know, you can wonder if that's sort of given a leg up for some of the other generative AI darlings like an Anthropic. But it's kind of full steam ahead, right? You could argue that with this new board in place, they're very well positioned to compete with an Anthropic who maybe still needs to find these experienced, seasoned executives to lead them forward. It doesn't have the same nonprofit structure. But, Carl, many, many external challenges. The regulators, there's Elon Musk, there's generative AI as a whole, right? We're still seeing that, whether that's with Google, with Microsoft Copilot, there's more to come.
A new bipartisan effort to crack down on TikTok now gaining traction in Congress, which is set to vote on a bill as early as this week. Former President Trump, who led the original push for the ban, seemed to change his stance when he weighed in on Squawk Box earlier today.
I was at the point where I could have gotten it done if I wanted to. I sort of said, you guys decide, you make that decision, because it's a tough decision to make. Frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. There are a lot of users. There's, you know, a lot of good, and there's a lot of bad with TikTok. But The thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger. And I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media.
Deirdre Boza joins us now for today's Tech Check. Pick up on that thought, Dee.
Hey, Tyler. Yeah, I mean, it is just such a massive about face. I remember in 2020 when President Trump spearheaded the TikTok threat and started talking about banning it, which he also identifies in that clip that you just played. The question is, why is he changing the stance right now? And why is he juxtaposing it with Facebook? It's interesting. Some have speculated that President Trump himself and some MAGA content has actually been sort of suppressed on Facebook, and it gets a lot of play on TikTok, even if his campaign isn't posting directly itself. A lot of his speeches, a lot of his content gets clipped and posted there. And as he said, people go crazy for TikTok. It is a younger demographic, some 150 million users here in the United States. It's where a lot of that demographic gets their news. So it is in his interest, especially leading up to the election, for his content to be on there and also to take a stance against Facebook. But I think the speed at which this ban is once again in the news and coming up to another vote in the Senate has sort of caught everyone a little bit off guard, right? There's always been this undertone. It's always been a bipartisan issue. But the timeline from here, it's all happening, I think, quicker than many had expected. The bill will go to the House and then to the Senate and then to President Biden's desk for signing. If you wonder where TikTok could fight back, it could challenge the legality around the First Amendment, saying that it's a violation of free speech. So there's still some ways to get there. And we've been here before. How difficult would it actually be? Could it sell to an American like Bobby Kotick if he can raise the funding? Those are all questions that we're going to encounter in the coming weeks.
Very interesting. Are there other foreign owners of major internet social media sites?
So TikTok was kind of this phenomenon because until TikTok, there wasn't a big Chinese company that had made major inroads into the American market. Now, not social media, but Temu and Shein, right? These are huge e-commerce players that have successfully captured American consumers. So you have to wonder, back in 2020, President Trump talked about banning TikTok and WeChat. But the more relevant conversation today may be what happens to Temu and Shein, which has, you know, collected a lot of American user engagement. But it's the whole question around, do you ban Chinese apps? That's what they do to our companies over there. Or do American consumers who love to use them, do they use the great firewall, the great VPN to get beyond and use these apps that they enjoy?
It's interesting, too, because you mentioned those Temu and Shein. The young users there, those who are being accustomed to using platforms that originate in China, that's where they really proliferate. Deirdre, thank you. Appreciate it.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go. Give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.